Listen, America. Come closer. You and your home. And you speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
Folks, excuse me, everyone. Could you just hold it down for a few minutes here? Ulysses is coming on. Thank you. Any second now here. Yeah. Oh, here. Okay.
Yep. Sat there, dull and squat, its spout stuck out. Puppeties.
Yeah, it's Ulysses. James Joyce.
Dry. The cat walked stiffly round a leg of the table with tail on high.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. There you are. Mr. Bloom.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. You go back to what you were doing. I'll try to just lean closer to this and see if I can hear it. Hiya, folks. This is difficult to explain. It's like this. I've decided I finally have to finish Ulysses by James Joyce. Never did. Never really wanted to, but it's a thing that you should do if you want to be a thinking, cultured individual, right? I don't want to read it. It hasn't worked out very well previously, so I thought I'd get an audiobook version. The only trouble is that the only one I could find is on 45 RPM records. 812 of them, actually. And that's the abridged version. So I prevailed upon the manager on duty here if he wouldn't mind slipping one of these 45s into the little rock-old jukeboxes here in the counter of the diner. You know the ones I'm talking about, those fine, classic 1950s model with chrome and all that. The wonderful sort of off-white ivory buttons with the red numbers in them. They're great. It's a sign of high culture, and the diner here has four of them on the counter, and they're, of course, back in the booths as well. But you know that, of course, right? I mean, you know that. Well, maybe you don't. Is this the first time you've walked into the diner? Well, if so, welcome. Here, have a stool. There's one next to me. They're the great kind that go all the way around if you want to make yourself dizzy. Have a cup of frosty Jubal or have a cup of diner coffee. It'll put hair on your chest. Or take it off if you spill it. Ah, the diner. The diner. The old diner on an old Highway 23, about usually 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at the moment. I'm James Lilacs, of course, and I'm sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah counter. And it's just as it was when I was last here. Which was yesterday. I'm always here. I don't own this place. I don't run this place. I'm not even sure who does own it nowadays. I know that it's been the scene of many things, that trials and storms and strife and joy have come all through here, that just about every single aspect, facet of life manages somehow to manifest itself in these little confines, drums that play themselves out in the black and white checked linoleum. What can I say? It's a diner, and that ought to mean something. It's not a cafe. It's not an eatery. It's a diner. I figure that word out. I was thinking about this earlier today. What is somebody who eats in a restaurant? A diner. What is the diner that the diner is at? A diner. So it's the only place in which the person here has the same identity as the place itself. Fitting. Anyway, Rockola. I always found this interesting. The Rockola jukeboxes here, as I mentioned. Great little 1950s pieces of aesthetics. It's odd that they're named after what? Do you know? And you're thinking, well, rock and roll, man. No, they're named after David Rockola, who founded the company in 1927. In 1927, way in advance of the invention of rock as a genre, let alone the Ola as a suffix that they'd use, like Orama. You know, something would be filmed in Technorama, Vistorama, with Rockola sound. But no, Mr. Rockola lent his name to these marvelous devices, and here they are. I usually have absolutely no control over these things. There's a guy who comes in the middle of the night and stalks them, but I left the Proust behind, or I'm sorry, the Joyce. Confusing Proust to Joyce. Silly man. Oh, miles apart, miles apart. Yes, both exist in the bin of things that I haven't read. My wife did. My wife chewed her way through Proust almost as a civic duty. I wasn't exactly sure why, but it was something that she thought that she should do, and so she read a great deal of Proust. Le recherche de l'étang perdu, I believe. And she probably read it in French, too. Or did she just open it up and look at the pages while I was in the room, making me think that she was reading Proust in French? What am I going to do, quiz her? So, what's the deal with the Madeleine, huh? The cookie, right? That was a cookie, and it made him go back in time? Right, the temporal displacement cookie, got it. We don't talk about Proust very much. You'd be amazed how much it doesn't come up in a good marriage. Anyways, I know that I'm trying to get through the Joyce here, and I just wish there was some easier way to do it, that's all. Because just loading 145 after another into a record player to hear the thing. If only there was some way that... Hold on a second, I got an idea. I have an idea. What if I use I use the transistor coupler and the sonic accelerator and got in the back of the Rockolas and converted them over to broadcasting stations using Wi-Fi. Yes. 811, of course. 811N. And then I was able, using my laptop streaming system, take an audio file and beam it to this very jukebox. And you're thinking, that's brilliant. And B, why, if you have it on your laptop, don't you just wear headphones and listen to it there? Where's the fun in that? The fun is figuring out how to beam. Now, if I could do this, if I could beam it, that means, get this, dig. I could use my laptop as a jukebox loaded with all kinds of pre-recorded audiobooks. I don't know where I'm going to get them. I don't know, but I'll find out. I'll find a place. And then I could set it up and broadcast to every single Rockola jukebox in the diner here. So that instead of listening to that soul-destroying, curdling modern music, I'm kidding, people could actually edify themselves by listening to stories as they ate their diner burgers, had their breakfasts. It's a great idea. I'm going to get to it here in just a second. I need to, of course, find my cosmic amplifier and the other spatial rearranger, but maybe they're on the car. In the meantime, I tell you what, I'm just going to, you know, the jukebox has actual music on it, too, and I don't know what. I never know what the guy puts in here, but let's just start at the top, shall we? Let's go to track A1.
Well, Grandpa was young at 73. Just the other day, well, he said to me, son, do you like this rock and roll? Like these hip cats, I've been told. Listen to a jukebox all night long. Rock and roll till the break of dawn. Grandpa's gonna rock and roll. Grandpa's gonna rock and roll. Grandpa's gonna rock, roll, rock. Grandpa's gonna rock and roll. Grandpa's gonna rock, roll, rock tonight.
All right. I think I can get the back of the jukebox open here. There we go.
Well, Grandpa went out the other night. The way he was dressed, well, it was a sight.
Ow! 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 Capacitor!
Come on, chick. We gotta go down to see that rock and roll show. Grandpa's doing a rock and roll.
Oh, coin box alarm. I don't care about stealing your two nickels in here. Maybe this will turn it off. Gah! Yes, once more, the present generation finds validation for its new musical form by the approval of grandparents. That always happens. But how did Grandpa rock? That's what I want to know. That's the question, isn't it? We all say, there's going to be good rocking tonight. Oh, man, we rocking last night. We rocked. Oh, you rock. Tonight we're going to rock you tonight. But the actual physical form that rocking takes, I'm not exactly clear on. For guys, it involves bobbing your head up and down sometimes and sort of moving your shoulders, but that can't be it. Unless, of course, they're referring to the old blues term in which rock meant it was rock and roll was a euphemism for sexual intercourse, in which case Grandpa, I don't want to think. And probably not likely, because, you know, in those days, 72, 73, you didn't have some little pill you could buy to put a wowser in your dowser. No siree, Bob. So exactly how Grandpa rocked out will...
Hold on, this thing's arcing.
Man, who knew 50s jukeboxes were so touchy? It's a good thing I got an asbestos oven made out of the kitchen for this. Don't worry, though. I'm grounded. Family, patriotism, faith, love of country, American Western civilization, all of these things serve to anchor me in place. And I hope that's what they mean when they say you should be grounded when you work with electricity. Anyway, I have to just attach these wires to the speakers back there so I can broadcast audiobooks to every jukebox at the table in the diner. If you're wondering why exactly I need wires to broadcast wirelessly, that's the odd thing about wirelessness, isn't it? At some point, wires are required. Always. I mean, I'll believe it's truly wireless when there's just no wires anywhere for anything. Little tiny Tesla coil plugged into the wall broadcasts power everywhere. No wires necessary. Hold on. Okay, it's beginning to auto-calibrate. This would be a good time to have a word from our sponsor and take a little break because I've had a lot of coffee. I'll be right back.
Where are the germiest germs of all? Upstairs, downstairs, or in the hall? No, they're in the bathroom. And to wipe them out, indeed, a little dash of Lysol's all you need.
Yes, Lysol in your cleaning suds wipes out germs and odors. Disinfect from one cleaning to the next as nothing else can. Use Lysol, either the new pine-scented or regular, each week when you clean the bathroom.
That's the bathroom. A little dash of Lysol does it all.
Have you had your soup today? Campbell's, of course. Campbell's, of course. Once a day, every day, you should have a bowl of Campbell's soup. Have some Campbell's right now.
Serve your family big, nourishing bowls full of Get Up and Go Campbell's Vegetable Soup. Your hungry youngsters will just love it. Campbell's Vegetable Soup. Good. Has the vitamins, proteins, and minerals of 15 garden vegetables.
You know, that commercial made me hungry for some vegetable soup. Perfect for a dank fall day like this to have a nice hot bowl of indistinguishable organic mush. And I prefer to say vegetable. The more syllables, the better. Sounds chunkier when you say vegetable, doesn't it? If that E is there, I think, to keep the veg and the table from just slamming into each other. Well, otherwise, people would look at the word and say vegetable. Vegetable. They'd see that hard G, just as some people insist on seeing a hard G in GIF, graphical interchange format, which it's not, and I don't care what they say. I'm sorry, gosh, G, golly, grocery, that's a graphical interchange format, I'll pronounce it GIF. No, GIF is peanut butter. And I'm sorry, if you go back to the guy who invented GIF and say, actually, it's a J based on a fricative used by the Xhosa tribe in southern Africa, it's actually a GIF. I don't care. It's a GIF. It's just what it is. But what do I know? I'm not exactly a computer guy anyway. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, as I noted before, how to hook up my laptop here to wirelessly broadcast my audiobooks to my little jukebox. And if you're wondering, it's no small piece of technology here. I've got it's the MacBook Helium. It's actually thinner than the MacBook Air, and it's running OS 11, which is the very advanced operating system. They're all named after noble gases. So I'm running Prince Charles. That's the first version of OS 11. And let me just see here how it's going to work. Let me try this setting here, see if I've got the connect.
What is thy bidding, my master?
Nope, shoot. It's set on subservient evil. Let me readjust here and the preferences.
The choice is yours. Obey me and live, or disobey and die.
Whoa, those are some strict permissions. Let me recalibrate the positronic ionizer here and...
Working. Affirmative.
Ah, perfect. There we go. All right, in seconds here, I'll be able to broadcast my audiobooks right to the little jukebox here on the counter at the diner, and I am wondering exactly why I want to do that. I mean, I could broadcast all of my music from my laptop to the jukebox, but doesn't that really spoil what a jukebox is all about? A jukebox is a social thing. Everybody has to listen to whatever what somebody else is putting in. I mean, Lord, when I was working at a bar, there were some songs that people would always play on the jukebox in order to prove their bona fides in some respect or the other. The frat guys would come in, and if they wanted to show that they were really down and emotional and soulful, they would play No Woman, No Cry, which is a song that myself I never liked, and I never could quite figure out what he meant. Did he mean that no, comma, woman, colon, no cry? Or was he stating a series of conditions, no women, ergo, no cry, because, you know, you got a woman, and eventually it's nothing but tears. I don't know, and I don't care. And then, of course, they would play I Ain't Got No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, which is a cool tune the first 732 times you hear it. And then always at the end of the night, always at the end of the night, somebody would put on The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King. And I think that song came out about 55 years ago. And B.B. King, bless his heart, is still around and still doing it. And to still at this point be reminding people that he's been absent a thrill for half a century really doesn't speak well. Well, he's a blues man, I suppose. That goes without saying. But still, it'd be nice if he updated that with a little sequel. The Thrill Momentarily Reappeared. That would be good. But these would be the songs that I would hear over and over and over again. And I got to know every single song on the jukebox by its bass line, because when I worked upstairs at the Valley, I would hear the thump, 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 thump coming from downstairs, and I could identify what the song was just by hearing the sound of the rockola reverberating through the foundation of the building. But still, you know, there are some times when you're working the tables in the back and somebody puts on, oh, I don't know, you know, something from Saturday Night Fever, and you, even though you're a punk kind of guy, a new wave skinny tie, squeeze Elvis Costello, hip, smart, acerbic kind of guy, there's something to this, and you work a little better and a little faster, and you enjoy yourself, and you strut. That's right, you strut, because it's the Bee Gees, and that's what you do when this song comes on. You'd never play it yourself, of course. You'd never be caught dead putting a quarter in that machine to punch up Bee Gees disco. But you know, if somebody else did it on your behalf, enjoy, strut on their quarter. So yeah, the jukebox has that effect of having other, exposing other people to what you like, and sometimes it's what you wouldn't choose and what you're glad to hear. And that maybe is why there are so many songs about jukeboxes. Well, let me wonder here. Let me take a look at the jukebox and see if there are any songs about jukeboxes. Let me flip through the jukebox rock, jukebox rock and roll, rock and jukebox, we're at the jukebox tonight, rocking around the jukebox. Oh, man. This one looks good. This is D1.
Rock, pop, jump, thump, rock and roll, drugstore's rocking, rock, rock, couples are bopping, bop, bop, jukebox.
Wait a minute, did she say they did the jitterbug? I thought jitterbugging and rock and roll were two completely different universes here. They did the frog and the twist and the mashed potato and the baked loaded potatoes with sour cream and bacon bits and a little butter on the top and some parsley and some chives, you know. And sometimes they call them twice-baked potatoes, which I never could figure out. I mean, why don't you just bake it as long as it needs to be the first time? You say twice-baked potato, it's when you took it out and you looked at it and you said, oh, this isn't done. Oh, I'm sorry, singing.
Have a slow beat, a fast beat too. As long as they're rocking, any beat will do. Pins getting groovy all over the floor, and the cats are crying for more. Take time out for a soda pop. Dig a new record with a lot of bop. Ice cream cones and banana split. 10 jumps ahead of a fit. Drugstore's rocking, rock, rock. Couples are bobbing. Drugstore's real gone, man.
10 jobs ahead of a fit was the line that I didn't quite understand either. But that was Janis Martin who sang that particular tune with great vigor and described a world that's completely gone by. It doesn't exist anymore. Nobody walks into a CVS and says, "Where are the kids bopping here to the jitterbug sound of something gone, man?" No, it's gone, man, I guess. But just a reminder that the drugstore was a different social entity. It was a, and we used to have them around here. There's a nice little store where they sell nothing but knickknackery for gifts. When you're desperate for a gift, you go in there and you buy something. It's your Mother's Day, and you get a plaque that says, you know, you're the best mom ever, whatever. You tended gardens and made things grow. I love you. I mean, you can give a mom, you know, a rock with a piece of scotch tape on it at a certain age, and she'll love it. But, you know, it's that kind of store. Knickknackery. Candles. God, do they have candles. And it used to be a drugstore. And when they were renovating it before it burned down, they ripped up the floor, and I could see on the floor the old linoleum pattern, and I could see the holes that were on the linoleum from where the stools used to be, from which you could infer where the counter was, from which you could infer everything, the position of the counter, where the soda jerk stood, where the television was up in the corner, maybe an old set that broadcast the games. And you could imagine the screen door slamming shut, the buzz of the flies, the rumble of the streetcars as they went by. Just a real pre-modern, as we understand it, sort of experience. And you think, you know, it had something going for it. But then, of course, if I was my age sitting there enjoying a cup of coffee and the kids walked in and commenced to bopping to that stuff, I wonder how I'd react. Turn that racket down, perhaps. Or maybe I'd be like Grandpa and say, there's something to this, and I would commence to rocking myself. Maybe I'd get out an ace comb and slick my hair back with some Vaseline into a duck tail, or it would, you know, it'd have to be in the back because there's not enough in the front. Why did they never have interesting stylings in the front, you know? Here you have an age where obviously you can goop up your hair with an awful lot of product of a Vaseline-y nature, and they only made a little duck tail in the back. It never occurred to anybody to go for the unicorn look. There's no period in American male hair history, I think, where you had the actual full unicorn. Oh, they got close in punk when they spiked it up and into lots of spikes and a mohawk with super glue, which made it, you know, difficult to sleep except in one of two positions. But nobody ever went for the whole unicorn as a look, and that's a pity. As is the decline, I suppose, of the jukebox in public places. Everybody has their own music now, and I like that. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love being able to go wherever I want and have every single song I own on a particular little computational device that fits right in my pocket, little hard drive. That's great. But no one is ever going to sing any songs about rocking around the MP3 player. Nobody's ever going to say iPod rock, because that just means a static device with absolutely no moving parts or color whatsoever broadcasting the sound into the earbuds of somebody who is completely tuned out from the rest of the world. So there you go. You can either have it the way you want it, whenever you want it, wherever you want it, through the personal medium of your individual player, or you can have a social communal experience where people themselves are bopping and hopping and jitterbugging, I dare say, in a public place where also they sell drugs. Maybe with the other kind, the good, you know, the good kind, the stuff for constipation or diarrhea. I mean, they got you covered no matter what. You can have either one. You can have the raucous thing with all the kids doing their teen things with the music blaring out, or you can have yourself sitting in a coffee shop listening to music you like. Which do you prefer? Give me the coffee shop any day, frankly, because, you know, a lot of this stuff just sounds the same to me. Well, let's see. What else is on the jukebox? Well, there's not any Bruckner here, I'll tell you that much. Can't fit him on a 45. And I'm sort of in a Brucknerian mood. No, don't worry, I'm not going to give you a big classical music lecture on why you should like Bruckner. Matter of taste. But I first discovered Bruckner in high school in the fall. The Ninth Symphony, which has three movements. He wrote three and then died. But nobody misses the fourth. People listen to the third and say, that'll do it. Spike the landing. Just three movements and everybody was happy. Except for Bruckner, of course, who's dead. But died a virgin, too, probably. Strange man. Liked young girls. Never did anything about it, we don't think. We hope. And wrote these magnificent religious symphonies. A lot of conflict boiling away under the surface there, but you'd never know it from these incredible mountain ranges that his work creates. But you can't fit a Bruckner on a 45. You could probably fit the greatest hits of Alban Berg on a 35, on a 45. He was a one of those atonal composers whose music always sounds like somebody's trying to, you know, use a dentist drill to get something out of the middle of a cat. I mean, it's just horrible stuff, and I can't stand it. But it's difficult, don't you know? You remember Spy Magazine? Sure you do. Spy Magazine, one of the guys who did that was Kurt Anderson, and Kurt Anderson has a podcast. And if you like podcasts, I do. I've been looking for one to listen to for a long time, and I found Studio 360, which is something that he does. And Studio 360 at one point studied a festival, mind you, that focused on Alban Berg. Not just sort of threw out a little Berg at the ending for people who wanted something difficult, but a festival of Berg. Leon Botstein was one of the guests on the show, and he was talking about why Berg's work is difficult and it's dissonant, and it appeals to some people, though. And he told Kurt Anderson that the music suffers from masterpiece syndrome. Get that. It's such a masterpiece that it keeps the attention off of lesser-known artists and prevents everybody else from understanding what all of this atonal stuff was. Isn't that an interesting thesis? I think so, that Alban Berg himself would keep people from loving other modernisms who were just as bad. Modernisms? Who were just as bad, as unlistenable as he was. But you know what? He makes a compelling point. And you can listen to that thing free if you like. Studio 360, as it stands, is this great series of podcasts by Kurt Anderson. And it's all available for you at audible.com. And what's more, you can get it for free. That's right. If you go to audiblebot.com, you can get a free 30-day trial membership and a free book or a free podcast like this. Where else are you going to find 360? There. And once you get in it, you will understand that you not just can listen to the book on your iPad as you walk around. You can either just listen to it in your car, if you wish. There's this thing called WhisperSync technology, which beams it to all of your individual devices so that wherever you stopped on one, you can pick it up on the other. It's magnificent. It doesn't broadcast to jukeboxes, but I think their business model so far is working out for them where they don't really think that they have to. And now that I think about it, where the heck am I trying to broadcast an audiobook to the jukebox when I could just get audible.com, download Ulysses, or Pandora's Jukebox, as the Kurt Anderson Show is called, and I'll listen to it then? What's the matter with me? I gotta go through all this rigmarole when there's audible.com, and it's free for 30 days, for heaven's sakes. Oy, gewalt. That's the sound of me being disgusted with myself. On the other hand, I have hooked up something pretty neat here. I do have the MacBook connected wirelessly to the jukebox. Deviltry may result. So go to audible.com here when we're done and get that free 30-day trial. And in the meantime, I'm going to think of some deviltry, which means that perhaps whilst we do that, it might be a good time for a word from one of our other sponsors.
Will you be living better tomorrow than today? Here to answer that question as guest speaker for the Advertising Council is another business leader, Charles M. White, chairman of Republic Steel Corporation. Mr. White.
Will we be living better tomorrow than today? Well, our progress in the past is the best indication of what the future will be like. And the most remarkable aspect of America's past has always been phenomenal growth. Today, there are 15 million more jobs than there were in 1939. Next year, there will be still more. And by 1975, the number will increase by another 22 million. More jobs mean more money, which means we will be able to afford more of the things we need and want. Yes, the facts tell us we will be living better tomorrow than today.
Thank you, Mr. White. For a free copy of the booklet, Your Great Future in a Growing America, drop a card to Box 1776, Grand Central Station, New York.
Starring Lucille Ball. I don't know, I always think that when I hear that kind of a music. Well, I've been thinking about what kind of deviltry I can get up to here, or which kind of deviltry up to which I can get. And you know, I've got to use this power for good. I've got this incredibly powerful MacBook Helium here. It's hooked into this one jukebox, but if I just adjust the parameters here a little bit, I perhaps can broadcast to every single one of them, and I can use this technology to introduce people to some sort of music that they'd never heard before, music that will change their lives, right? It could be I could expose them to some subgenre they'd never heard before, psycho-hillbilly techno-rave. Yeah, their ears would bleed. I could introduce them to classical music. There are people here who have never heard anything except for the William Tell Overture and have no idea. And if they heard the right piece, they would see the clouds part and understand the blare of glory, of emotion, of the intelligence behind it. But then again, which one would you choose? For some people, that's Beethoven. For some people, that's Mozart. For some, it's Handel. For some, it's the threnody of a Mahler death march. That's not the threnody of a Mahler death march for a lot of people, but if you're in the mood, it'll work for you. But no. If I had this great power, perhaps I could use it to bring people together. I think we all know that the country is deeply riven at the moment. It's split. It's split like Mama Cass's pants, man. And it's so difficult to find common ground. Now, we don't get political here at the diner. We never have. And I'm sorry, because people who want to talk about Rethuglicans and Dummycrats, unfortunately, there are 489 million discussion threads on YouTube where you can find that need filled quite quickly. Don't want to do that. But there has to be something here to remind us that we are one people. To go back to an age, perhaps, when there was hope, that there was a new America dawning, and to find in that time something that we can apply to our own. That's all I'm saying. So, I'm going to give it a try here. Luckily, I have everything I own on my machine here. So I'm going to find this tune, and I think this is going to be the one that might cause us to join hands across the chasm, which is hard to do, because if it's a chasm, you can't really join hands without falling over. It just can't be done, you know. Mr. Fantastic, maybe. Stretch Armstrong, perhaps, but, you know, no. So wave at each other across from the chasm. How about that? And with all five fingers, not, you know, with just the one. Let's see. All right, you ready? We're going to go back then. We're going to go back to a golden time. A time of hope.
Back to the 70s.
Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes.
Everybody.
Jimmy Carter says yes.
I say yes.
Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes.
As the day is long.
Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken yes. Jimmy Carter says yes.
Put your hands in the air like you just don't recall.
As your president, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. For corruption while I'm in office, I'll not bargain. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I'm the president. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president. Jimmy Carter, our 39th.
Everybody's looking at me. Why do you? I was trying to bring everybody together. With some, I mean, can we all agree that It's a really awful song. Regardless of how you feel about the stance on Habitat for Humanity, which has done a lot of good for people. I'm just trying to do something. Okay, you don't like that. All right, then it's time for a little edification. All right, I'm going to give you all a little Alban Berg here, a little Alban Berg modernism. It's the musical equivalent of listening to James Joyce Ulysses at 78 RPM. All right, here, be edified. Here, see how you like this. Jimmy Carter's sounding pretty good now, isn't he? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I overreacted a little bit. Just everybody's angry at me now. Put down the cutlery, stop moving towards me. Hold on, I'll find something everybody likes. Folder. In case of emergency, break glass and play. There it is, the Louis Prima. Here!
Saved. 2 weeks, 2 days. My loving baby's been gone. 5 months, 2 weeks, 2 days. My loving baby's been gone. If you see my baby, please send her home.
Is that bopping I see over there? Are you guys bopping? Hurry. Yes.
Oh, baby. Hurry. Oh,
and jitterbugging. You hurry. Guys are jitterbugging. I wholeheartedly approve. It's real gone, Dad. It's real gone. Incoherent animal sounds. Orc. Blow it, Sam. Blow it. Well, now that everybody's back to normal and happy and no longer waving cutlery at me, you know, frankly, some of this stuff has still got little bits of food stuck on it. They got to work on that dishwasher back there. They got a pearl diver, a new guy, doesn't really pay the attention that he should, but these are all kinks we can work out in the future. All I know is we tried to do something, and as usual, it blew up in my face, and you had to resort to the emergency Prima, but that generally, you know, solves things in the end, and the diner goes on and on and on, and it's been longer, I know, than 5 months, 2 weeks, 2 days since you've been able to join me here, but I hope you will again as soon as possible because the diner is back as a regular feature. And for that, we thank Ricochet.com and we thank Audible.com, where you can go and get your free 30-day trial, download an Audible book of your choice, listen to it on any device, and be edified or entertained or entertained and edified. And I hope this has been a little bit of both. So, hold on, my laptop is smoking. It shouldn't smoke, should they? Laptops shouldn't smoke. I mean, well, no, I mean, there are... Oh, man, just as I feared, the cultural discontinuity buffer was overrun by the playing Alban Berg, Jimmy Carter, and Louis Prima in the same session. And now it's completely on fire. Can you hand me that? Yep, thank you. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we have a sponsor because now I have to buy a new laptop. Well, that'll learn me. No more trying to run the music myself. From now on, I'm doing whatever the jukebox says. I do solemnly swear with my hand on a stack of pancakes with butter on them, melted butter, that I will just punch the numbers and let the jukebox work its magic, just as in the diner days of yore and in the diner days to come. I'm James Lilacs. This is The Diner on an old Highway 23. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you down the road.